This is the Gamer Geeks Podcast, your one-stop shop for news and reviews for video, card, and tabletop games, with your hosts CJ, Raul, and Brendan.
Yes, indeed, yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Hello, friends, and welcome once again to the Gamer Geeks Podcast, episode number 10, recorded 5th of February, 2017. Of course, I am CJ, and joining me once again, as always, on my right and left hand man's Raul and Delbert.
Good evening, CJ.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good. Just got finished watching the Super Bowl.
Stupid Bowl.
Overtime.
Stupid Bowl. The Superb Owl.
Yeah, the Superb Owl. Yeah, we can't actually say the name of the thing because they'll sue us. Hmm? So, the Superb Owl.
Really? Superb Owl. Superb Owl? Owl?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, they're super litigious. Not that anybody will care that we actually say it with our, you know, like, X amount of listeners, but...
But yeah.
By the way, I got good news today.
Oh.
I got approved as a attending professional at Dragon Con again today.
Nice.
So I am going to speak to the people who run the video game track, who I know from last year, and I'm going to see if we can't do a live show over there this next year at the Dragon Cons.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
I need to play more games then.
Yeah, we have a so we'll have to actually do some stuff instead of just a regular show by then. But I want to, I would love to have us a show. But now that I'm an attending professional, I actually have a chance of doing that. And I know the people, I know the lady who runs the track. So I will get in touch with her and see if we can run a live show over there. Since Delbert is a tentative going, and I'm sure if we have a live show, I'm sure I can guilt him into coming. I mean.
Yeah, I've been wanting to pitch to you guys if you wanted to do like a hardcore Diablo 3 run.
Or Diablo 3. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do you have it on the PS4?
I just have it on the PC.
Because I was thinking that since. I have it on the PS4 and not have actually played it. And Rachel and I have it, so we could do local couch co-op and then have you guys join in. And yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do a hardcore run through Diablo.
Yeah, but like on the hardest difficulty before Torment.
Hey, now let's
that's not get easy, though.
No. I mean,
no, that's technically normal.
Isn't there a hard mode? Isn't there a hard?
Master.
I think there's a hard.
It'd be Master.
Oh, yeah, Master. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
Master, and then...
But even then, like, that's not that hard.
Yeah, but I think you have to actually... Well, we can do Torment 1. We can try and run Torment 1.
Yeah, we'll be dead before we face the skeleton king.
Yeah.
Well?
Yeah.
Piss to the wind and see what happens, my friends.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can record it. We don't have to stream that.
Yeah,
we can screw record it. We can just jump into Torment 10 and die within, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah, the first skeleton that pops up and like, whoa, kills all of us.
But every difficulty before after that would be like a cakewalk.
Yeah, I think we could do a master hardcore run.
Master's what I usually start my characters on.
Yeah, I think that's the good you've played Diablo before playstyle. Yeah. And, you know, Rachel and I have been wanting to play it again lately, so I'm down.
But, yeah, I mean, we can do story. I guess story would be the easiest instead of adventure mode.
We could just jump into adventure mode and just start grinding stuff and see what happens. Since we all know the story, I mean, it doesn't really behoove us any.
Yeah,
I think adventure is more fun anyway. It's a hell of a lot less linear. So, hey, look at us shooting stuff on the... In the show instead of off of the air.
Oh.
Depending on when we do it, I call Necromancer.
Wizard.
I'll go Crusader. I'll be the meat shield.
Okay.
Yeah. If that is not out, I'll do Witch Doctor.
Yeah, I mean, you have one, six one way, half dozen to the other. I mean. All right. So before we head on to the news, for those non-live listeners, let's go ahead and take a quick break from our sponsors, and we will be right back. All right, and we are back. If you want a non-ad driven experience, join us live Sundays normally at 9 p.m. Thanks, Superb Owl Eastern, over at geek-io.net/live, twitch.tv/geekioshow, or diamondclub.tv. But enough of that pimping. Let's go ahead and head on into the news.
On to the news.
There we go. All right, so we have a pretty short news thing because there's some stuff in the second hand, the review segment that we have to grill Raul over. So, we've got some short news. EA confirmed this week, Electronic Arts confirmed this week that Star Wars Battlefront 2 is not only a thing, but it will have a single player campaign. Wow. That is so good.
Probably because they saw the success that Titanfall 2 had with including a...
I can guarantee Titanfall was the test run for this. And Titanfall's single-player campaign got applauded, where its multiplayer was just kind of lukewarm. And the big thing is, it's coming out this year. It's coming out this holiday.
Which means it's probably going to take up a good portion of EA's E3 conference.
Oh yes, expect that. All of it, and Rogue One maps and characters have been confirmed for it as well. So, and also Force Awakens characters and maps have also been confirmed.
And
for
they
it.
Also announced that they're shutting down the, is it Battlefront or Battlefield servers?
Probably the OG Battlefield ones,
which they were so good. I actually enjoyed those
playing. Battlefront 2 was so good. The space battles in that were just insane. So yeah, we will definitely, not much more than that has been announced other than the fact that it is indeed a thing and we have a single player campaign. So other than that, we'll most likely hear more at E3. E3 is probably going to be a big one this year, you guys. Since we now have a next-generation console in play, we will at least probably get teasers for Scorpio and whatever the hell PlayStation is going to be called.
Assuming they're going to be doing one.
I think PlayStation Pro is going to stay around for at least another year or two.
Yeah, won't hear about PS4.5 until next year.
Yeah. I could see that. All right, so moving on. Something I didn't know was a thing until today. However, ZeniMax Media has been awarded $500 million in its lawsuit against Oculus, owned by Facebook, which alleged that the virtual reality technology it owns was stolen and used to develop the Oculus Rift.
Oh, man, I have so many things wrong with this. It seems like it only came out as soon as Facebook bought them.
Well, I mean, admittedly, this was stuff that was developed before Facebook bought them. So, you know, it's not really, Facebook was not found liable in this. So this was all pre-Facebook stuff.
And I just read a story that ZeniMax is actually looking for an injunction to stop sales of the Oculus.
Yep. That would be a shot, and also, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a big ZeniMax game comes out for the HTC Vibe. I'm just saying. Funny how this works. They suddenly come out and drop this massive game-changing thing on the HTC Vibe.
They were just mad they let it go.
Yeah, I mean, I understand about protecting intelligent property, protecting trade secrets. But there's sometimes where it just goes a little bit too far.
Yeah, I can't tell at first glance at the story. I can't tell if this was a one of the famous, since it's in Texas. I can't tell if this is one of the famous.
It was in Texas.
One of those famous patent troll judges who just pretty much just shells out money regardless.
Yeah.
I can't, without further inspection, I can't tell that.
Yeah, I just know it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. We're not going to figure out anything like that. Normally, ZeniMax is a big company, so I don't think that they would be a
patent trolling,
but you know, you never know when money's on the line. Companies get weird when money's on.
Especially $500 million.
Yeah.
That's half of what Amazon paid for Twitch.
Yeah, right. All right, yeah, so
I just butt hurt.
Oh yeah. That's exactly it. All right. So we got some more news. What we got going on here?
So I was looking into, I was just trolling my news sites earlier, and apparently a modder for Minecraft built a fully functioning Pokemon mod for Minecraft.
Oh, yeah. If you want a way to get me to play, or to get Minecraft and play it, here you go.
Yeah, so it's called Pokemon Cobalt and Amethyst. Like I said, it's a build. I think it took 5 years to go ahead and build. Yeah, it
understandably
3 years. Yeah, it took him 3 years to build it. The creator claims to have beaten the game in approximately 70 hours. So think about that long.
Huh.
It's it takes place in a never before seen region, which makes sense because anything else would probably be very copyright infringement.
Oh, just it being called Pokemon is copyright.
Yeah, I know. I'm so waiting for this to be taken down as soon as Nintendo realizes this there. But it features a set of 136 Pokemon and a new story dominated by something called Team Tempest, is what it seems.
All right.
So it sounds kind of cool. I might see if I can get that to work with Windows 10 Edition just to see what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a map download from what I can understand. Oh. It's not actually a mod.
Wow.
It's literally they spent years building it.
So Mojang is still supporting the original Java-based Minecraft.
Yeah.
And they're supporting the new Windows 10 Minecraft.
Yeah, the parity isn't quite there yet. I know Java is still a little bit farther ahead. But Microsoft officially launched the Windows 10 edition a few months ago. So it came out of beta, so it's a lot closer to the parity than... Mm-hmm. It used to be.
Yeah, because like the thing with the Java-based one is just like there's so many mods for it. It's a lot easier to actually edit that than... Because I'm thinking the Xbox 10 version or the Xbox... The Windows 10 version of Minecraft is a little bit more locked down.
A little bit, but there are still ways to do it. I've looked into modding it, and it is possible, but it's a lot harder to do. But like I said, this seems to just be a map download, so it shouldn't need any mods attached to it.
Interesting.
It was built on vanilla Minecraft, so it wasn't even requiring any mods to create. So it's pretty nifty. I might definitely look into it.
It's
see if I can get
cool.
that to
yeah,
work
absolutely.
In my edition. Yeah, according to the producer, it includes everything from battling, capturing, and training to challenging individual gym leaders. So it's got a fully fleshed out storyline.
Wow.
So I'm really curious to see how they organize that and make that work.
Yeah, with I believe they've confirmed that there is a Pokemon game coming to the Switch.
Yes, Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is
but they haven't said anything about it.
Yeah, which I think is going to add even more new Pokemon, isn't it?
Rumored. Definitely rumored. Yeah.
Rumored that it's going to supplement the current generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's still Sun and Moon generation. It's the yellow version.
Ah.
Emerald.
Yeah.
Crystal, etc. So. What?
The laughing in the background.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on out there. I try not to pay attention. But yeah, moving on from Minecraft, this is something else that's been, you know, super excited. PS4 in a future update, it just entered beta, so it doesn't have any real release yet. It's finally getting support for external hard drives.
Yeah, boy!
So it sounds pretty awesome. It looks like it supports hard drives up to 8 terabytes.
And USB 3.
And USB 3. As well as a menu overhaul and simplified notification. You know, normal stuff, but the big thing is that hard drive support.
Yes.
Now,
it just entered beta today. Let's
change our nicknames.
They'll never do that. They'll sell those before they
buy you. I'd be okay with that. I don't care.
You mad about your nickname, bro?
I am, in fact. I would love to. Fine. You want 20 bucks? Fine. Shut up and take my money.
Score for getting a good nickname before everyone else got a good nickname.
Yeah, well. But I was doing the PS3 thing, and like it was just when I first got married, so I was doing that weird like young married thing, and
noob.
Yeah. Like combined our screen names together, and I'm just like, man, now that doesn't really work. And then I'm a 30-something-year-old like professional gamer.
Got our powers combined.
We will have a dorky ass nickname.
And kids.
And kids. And dorky ass kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, no release date on that yet.
It just entered beta today, so it should be within the next couple months, but it's probably going to take some tweaking to get it to work right. I know PS4 has never really liked playing nicely with external hard drives, so
on the other
hand, who knows how long it'll take.
On the other hand, Xbox has been doing that since, what, 360?
On the other hand, though, Xbox has never allowed you to really change out the hard drive.
True.
Yes,
so. That is allowing externals with Xbox's way of saying, we know we suck with putting hard drives in these things, so here you go.
Well, yeah, with a bigger push to digital, I mean, why go out day one and wait for the game when you can just like, oh, I'm going to download this, and then when I come back home from work, it'll be there.
Yeah, I'm having this right now where like my status quo PS4 hard drive, like every time I even buy a new game, I have to go through and annihilate stuff because I've already maxed out the 500 gigs.
Oh, wow.
1 terabyte, noob. God. You call yourself a gamer.
You shut up your face.
One of the first things I did when I got my PS4 was switch out the hard drive for a 1 terabyte.
I didn't think that I was going to be getting a lot of downloaded games, and then I'm like, oh yeah, they just send me review codes for things. Crap baskets.
Yeah, it's insane. Nowadays, games, the general status quo is like, what, 45 gigs?
I think Xbox just gave away Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition. I think that was 60? Or maybe it might be 15. Yeah, GTA 5.
GTA 5 is 60.
Yeah, it won.
I know there was another thing that was that big.
Which that reminds me, I need to upgrade my solid state drive, clone it, and then move onto my old solid state, just have GTA on it.
That is both awesome and pathetic and sad at the same time.
Well, I mean, GTA is a monster of a game. I mean, you can
put it on. It's the reason why I don't have it installed on my PS4 anymore, because it's 60 freaking gigs, and I'm like, man, I can't even do like regular installs for Deus Ex or Final Fantasy.
Speaking of Final Fantasy, I still need to finish World of Final Fantasy.
So good.
Yeah,
do it.
It's not a difficult game. I mean, I've fumbled most of my way through the game. It's not a button smashing. You got to do a little bit of thinking on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's strategic old school stuff. I mean, once you get up to, you don't have a lot of hangups until the very last boss, who is actually surprisingly difficult. And also, if you do any like the Ultima weapons or anything like that.
Oh, Ultima weapon. Screw you, Ruby weapon.
All right.
All right. I've got one news story in.
All right.
Because I was kind of busy today. Club Penguin is finally going the way of the dodo.
Asterisk.
It's Disney's long-running freaking
MMO.
Yeah, MMO.
Yeah.
It'll be closing down March 29th.
Yep, I put the asterisk on that because they're making an app. So.
Oh, that's why they're closing it.
Yep. An entirely new Club Penguin experience for mobile.
Oh, so. But I'm betting everyone that spent money on Club Penguin not going to be able to transfer any of that stuff over.
Most
they might
not.
Get, like, something small for their troubles.
Yeah.
Here's a apparently profile
there was
art.
A protest on Club Penguin last year. Great.
Because we know they really love the president now, apparently.
Yeah. All right. That's for a different show.
Yes. All right. So, not to be outshined by Club Penguin, into the Blizzard corner, Overwatch continues its adjusting and tweaking and nerfing and buffing, and apparently Bastion is getting a buff, you guys.
Why?
That's why.
Because he sucks.
Yeah, he sucks in competitive, but he's still really good in every other mode. It's going to turn into more of a tank buster and barrier buster mode, the sentry mode. Team doesn't want transformation to feel like certain suicide. To end that, we're testing stuff like increased firing speed and removing headshots, but taking less damage while transformed. Fantastic. And they're also toying around with the idea of giving him the ability to self-repair while moving. This does not make me happy. At all.
I mean, yeah, he's not being played in competitive at all. I mean, it's very little. It's usually when they want to, like, just need that, like, all that DPS down range.
Yeah.
But it's just that it's difficult. You kind of need a team to take Bastion down, don't you?
Team or pro Genji?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I typically just end up killing Bastions with two button pushes with an E and a shift. I unload an E and he just kills himself most of the way, and then I just shift through him and he just dies. D.Va also I have less of an issue on killing him, mainly because I have that extra life. But like if I'm on Ryan, oh man, he just cuts through me.
Yeah, that I don't think any shield can, except for D.Va's shield, because D.Va is a timed shield and not a damage shield.
Correct.
Man, D.Va's shield can do, or the defense matrix, it can stop most alts.
Yeah, I mean, it's stopped. I mean, I've taken a whole load of what's her name? Justice Ranch from above.
Yeah.
Frick.
Pharah?
Pharah, thank you.
Yeah, and
I've taken a whole load of hers just with my shield. I'm like,
yeah, I mean, Pharah, Reaper.
Yeah, Reapers just turns into nothing. Junkrats gets through it if you don't time it right. Soldier 76 weeps in his targeting matrix.
And actually, you can actually stop Mei's alt.
Oh, yeah.
You have to time it just as she throws it, and it'll blow it up.
Yeah, you could stop Junkrats too if you hit it correctly, but yeah, it's hard in those cases. But anything that has a projectile just can get annihilated by it.
Yeah, at that point, just shoot it with her shotguns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and plus it's not going to kill it. It'll kill your mech, but it's not going to kill your character.
Yeah, which I think if you blow up the tire before they trigger it, it just blows up. It doesn't.
Correct. It doesn't. Yeah, it deals zero. I've accidentally blown. On accident, I state that I was blowing up a tire and it blew up next to my next to one of my teammates. I'm like, hey, they didn't die. Cool. Now I learned something.
You win treasure.
Also, they are considering a removal of keyboard and mouse from console versions of the game.
Hmm. Is it just an unfair advantage?
It is, yeah. Plus, the consoles are not really meant to use those like that. So they're kind of circumventing code that they just left in there from port code. Mm-hmm. So they're considering removing it. Because keyboards and mice aren't meant to be that have that high of APM on them on consoles.
Yeah,
so simultaneously giving too big of a boost and too big of a nerf at the same time, depending on how quick your APM are.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that people are playing it on consoles.
I still stand by the fact that I love it on the PS4. I absolutely love Overwatch on the PS4. I enjoy it more on the PS4 than I do on the PC. Then again, I'm much better for some reason, and I'm guessing it's because I don't need quite as high reflexes on the PS4 as I do on the PC. I'm pretty markedly better on the PS4 than
because
I am on the
PC. Because it does have it's not auto aim, but it's a little bit of an auto assist, right?
No. Unless you're Soldier 76. No, there's no aim assist at all.
Oh, okay.
You're still doing what, but for me personally, it's just coming from a person who has really bad eyesight, not so great hand-eye reflexes. It's easier for me to properly aim on with the joystick than with the mouse. That's just me personally.
And that probably because you don't have to worry about the reticle moving as much because. If you're just moving around, you don't have to worry about keeping your mouse still locked in the front.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I can't accidentally bump my hand against something and knock myself out of aim.
Yeah.
You know, I have to physically move the control stick to do that. So, all right. Other than that, we are not gonna have a deck list segment this week because I didn't get any questions and I didn't have any time to write a segment. So we're gonna take another quick break from our sponsors and we will be right back with reviews. All right, so we're going to move into the reviews. And as wrote, I will go first because I'm self-important and also have put my name on here because I was expecting to do this as a solo show. So I have spent a lot of time this week playing Final Fantasy XV. An inordinate amount of time playing Final Fantasy XV. So that being said, I haven't had a lot of time to play other games. I did upgrade the SD card in my 3DS, though, to a 64 gig. So I downloaded a whole bunch of demos.
Yay, demos.
Because they're free. And I wanted to stay trendy, so I downloaded Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World demo. It is definitely Yoshi's Woolly World. That being said, it's really freaking good. I played through, you get 5 uses of the demo, and I used all 5 of them. It's really, really good. The controls are really, really solid. The graphics are great. Because you wouldn't think that it would work real well, just being everything's made out of wool. But it has this level of adorableness that I didn't expect it to have. I never played
Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, I never played the OG Yoshi's Woolly World, so I don't have anything to compare it to. I did play Kirby's Epic Yarn, and I loved that. So I mean, it still works really. In the demo, you don't get to play as Poochie. You don't have him there at all. But you do get to play as Yoshi, and he has all of his powers that he would have from Smash Brothers. His hover jump. He has that. He has his turn into a sledgehammer thing. He also has the sonic spin dash thing that he does. So those are all there, and it's so much fun. I almost bought the game, and then I realized I don't have a job. But yeah, I'm gonna give this game 4 out of 5. It is just, it's so much fun, so cute. The music is great. Just everything about it, I loved so much enough to use up my demo uses on it. So, next game is I bought back in the Steam sale the new Hitman game, and we know my love of stealthers loves me some stealth games. Love me some stealth games. I love, my first stream that I ever did was Hitman Absolution. So
good game.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wasn't expecting greatness out of this because I played the other Hitman, the one before this one. I think it was like Agent 47 or something like that. And it was bad. So I wasn't expecting greatness. And this was $20 on the Steam sale. So I was like, all right, cool. For the entire season 1. Awesome. Let's do it. First loaded it up, I was playing keyboard and mouse. Do not play this in keyboard and mouse. The buttons are so, the keyboard layout is so weird, and it does not like you changing it. Like it's really, really, the buttons are everywhere. So I was like, hey, I have a PS4 controller, and hey, I have a dongle that works with Steam, so I'm gonna plug in my PS4 controller. And I did, and the game got real good real fast. it does use Xbox controls, but it tells you how it maps. Steam tells you how it maps your. It gives you the same interface for the Steam controller. But it tells you, okay, here's on your PS4 controller, here's what your buttons are going to do. They reflect a Xbox controller, and they give you a side-by-side on what an Xbox controller is laid out as versus your PS4 controller. And I'm like, that is brilliant. So ran through, and I was real bad with the keyboard and mouse, and I got really good with the controller. So yeah, I had no issue whatsoever after I plugged in the controller. So I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5 as well, with the asterisk of once I plugged in the controller and actually, ran with it.
That's kind of odd.
Once you were doing it right.
So it's pretty much a straight port with not a lot of keyboard mouse optimization.
Yeah, it's obviously optimized for consoles. So yeah, I was expecting like the standard like shooter stuff, like I get with Dishonored, or pretty much any other game. No,
but
Hitman's never
is...
been like the rest of them.
Well, no, it's like, well, okay, Absolution was, you go in, you hit E is your button for everything. Okay, cool, awesome. you hold control to crouch, you hold shift to sprint, cool. And Dishonored does that now, and Deus Ex does that now. This game, no, you like have to hold C to crouch, and then you have your WASD movement. E only does certain things, but if you want to carry a body quietly, you have to hold both C and B and WASD. And then if you act, you have to hold B because if you release B, you release the body.
And
so
I,
when you're trying
I,
to,
I take it the controller. This is just made a whole lot easier.
Oh yeah, like you press L3 and you're in crouch, and then you just like you hold X and you're moving with the controller, and then when you get over to the thing that you want to dump the body into, you press square and down it goes. Because the dump body with the keyboard and mouse, it is holding C, holding B, because if you don't hold C, you will be loud. Hold B to drag the body. You wash it around. And in order to dump it into, say, a freezer or anything else, you still have to, like, somehow get your fingers over to E to dump it into the thing. So it's like trying to play the N64 controller when it required use of both the D-pad and the control stick. Mm. Yeah, I don't have that many fingers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, why wouldn't they let you... And I'm guessing on the controller, it's like two buttons.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah, it's, you know, you toggle crouch with L3. And then you toggle sprint with R3. It's not that hard.
Maybe they were happy the six-fingered man killed their father, so they catered to him.
I mean, and I tried readjusting the controls, which was great until I finished the mission that I was on, and then for some reason it went back to default controls.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just like, no, F this. If I can't fix this, if it's not good with the controller, I'm done. Like, I'm not playing this game.
Yeah, with most first-person shooters, it's... They always, like... They like to move the melee button to either right-click, F, or V.
Yeah.
And it just bothers me. I think I have Overwatch set to F.
And when you want to speaking of melee, when you want to stealthily take out somebody, don't do what I do, which is typically because I'm playing Dishonored right now, so Dishonored is just doing melee behind somebody, which is just left click. You left click, you shoot, and if you forget that you have a unsilenced weapon on, it doesn't end well for you.
Oh. 47
has a very real weakness to bullets, it turns out.
What?
So there's no option like in Deus Ex where it's like you can go run and gun.
No, oh no, no, it is a very bad idea.
So, I mean, I'm guessing that the missions have you... Oh, you have to get this close and kill them with this weapon. And
they give you many different ways of killing people, but most of it is you have to get close to them and do a thing to them, whether that be drowning them in a sink, pushing them overboard, hitting them with a helicopter. All of those things actually have happened. Pissing off a person. Hitting them with pyrotechnics. Having a person so pissed off at them that they kill them themselves. Which was great to do, by the way.
Hmm.
Seems legit.
You go, it's so much work to have this, but I'm like, there's an achievement for have this person kill your target on this map. I'm like, all right, I got to figure out how to do this.
Yeah, and it's like, don't real assassins just grab a sniper rifle and just pick them off?
Yep, and you have that option on certain levels. Unfortunately,
but Agent 47 loves getting his hands dirty.
Yeah, he is definitely not one of those ones that is like standing.
He's a very hands-on.
His call to fame is the Garrett wire. So I mean that's your thing. Is every mission has a classic hitman kill, which is just your fish wire across the throat. But yeah, so I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 once you switch over to controller. Okay. Keyboard and mouse gets like a 1. Because that was horrible. All right, next, Fire Emblem Heroes came out this week for the iOS and Android. Yes, Nintendo continues its trouncing into mobile with Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, talk about going into mobile. They're going full.
Yeah, man. They are going whole hog into this mobile thing, and I absolutely love them for it. I've never been ashamed of my love of SRPGs either, or Fire Emblem in general. I bought Birthright Awakening and
Conquest.
That third one, Conquest.
Oh, that's so good.
And I didn't argue. I bought it once on cartridge, and my 3DS and case got stolen. So I bought them again on digital. So. Fire Emblem Heroes is a much, 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 much more casual version of that, though. It's you playing on casual mode on the new Fire Emblem games, where your people just, they don't die, they come back at the end of the battle.
Okay.
Because they kind of, it's free to buy, but they kind of do the free to play shenanigans of, hey, you have stamina and you only have this much stamina before you can't stamina anymore. And also because it's a combination of literally every Fire Emblem game, you have the buy the jewels or do the farming for the jewels to be able to unlock maybe the character.
Hmm. I mean, it makes sense.
But I mean,
yeah. Fire Emblem characters have so many kids, like their stamina's got to run out eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah. The thing is with this model, it kind of bothers me, the free to play model.
It bothers a lot of people. It doesn't really bother me because there's no ads.
True.
Which is always a plus.
Yeah. So, like, free to plays bother me, like, when ads pop up after every game.
Yeah, I think free to plays really bother me at the point where stamina.
Yeah, I mean, you start off with 50 stamina, and I'm not super far into it. Like, only challenge maps take 5 stamina, and it refills fast. Like, the 50 stamina, I have not had to buy any of the... I have not had to spend any of my crystal on upgrading my stamina any. I've just been using it to buy heroes. So, and, like, I set it down for 3 hours, and my stamina's back. Hmm. So, I don't know if it's just their promotion right now because it's new that they're like, hey, we're gonna just refill stamina super fast, but stamina refills super fast.
And I mean, it's actual skill based combat, right? It's not like
same
Candy Crush where it's like
no, it's the same rock paper scissors weapons slash spell triangle from Awakening. Mm-hmm. And if you don't play that right, you will get your face smashed in. The enemy do not play. they come after you. And the weird thing is because like you have a summoner on the other team, so you're fighting against like Marth and some of the higher end heroes too, and those guys are a lot stronger than Red Lancemen. So like, oh man, I annihilated Red Lancemen easily. Oh crap, there's Marth. Oh crap, I have a I have an axe wielder in the way. Crap. Dead. Well, shit.
Does it get to
pretty
that point?
Pretty close to how Fire Emblem's always been, though.
Yeah. Yep. Does it get to that point where either you have to put money in or just put the time in to get the gems to get better heroes or to upgrade?
Yeah, I could see it getting to that. I've played now for, like, I've put in, like, 8 hours into it. And it's mainly just me playing when I'm getting ready to go to bed or when I'm in the turlet or things like that. Mm-hmm. And I've not spent a single dime. And I have 40-something heroes.
Wow.
And they only start you off with 4. So, yeah, I've not spent a dime on it. I'm not even – but the thing is I'm also not done with the storyline yet. They actually put a legit – storyline in this is not just go kill things because we say to. There's conflict and character development and like consequences to some of your actions in this game,
in a free-to-play game.
I was not expecting this out of a free-to-play Fire Emblem,
but it's still Fire Emblem. I mean,
it is,
they would have
and I think
fighting if yeah, there was no story to it at all.
Yeah, if you put a Fire Emblem game in there without having some kind of consequences or story yet, it would not end well for you.
Which is why I'm really curious to see what Fire Emblem Warriors is like.
Yes. Oh my god, yeah. All right, so but okay. Hyrule Warriors, killer storyline. So
oh, don't get me wrong. I love the storylines in the Warriors games, but
well, no, I mean, okay, it's literally the same group that did Hyrule Warriors, just doing it with Fire Emblem. And the storyline on that is killer.
Is it the same group that did Dragon Quest Heroes?
I believe so. I think...
Tecmo Koei, I believe, is doing all of those. That whole Warriors saga is all one company.
Yeah. I think they have a specific team with the third-party ones. But, I mean, they started off strong with Dynasty Warriors back in the PS2 days. Yeah, PS3. So, I mean, that's where they started these offshoots of the Dynasty Warriors games, and freaking...
They've just perfected it over time.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and Dynasty Warriors Heroes I freaking love, too, man. That's a great game. I can't wait for the second one for the Wii, for the Switch.
Do you think it's a lot to do with like the nostalgia of like say of warrior of Hyrule Warriors, the fact that you can play as all the older Zelda?
Well, I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm also not saying you're not seeing a let's say infamous Warriors. There's a reason why you're seeing Dragon Quest and Fire Emblem and Legend of Zelda.
I wonder how long it'll be before Mushroom Warriors and have Mario kicking Goombas in the face.
That'd be so awesome!
and the
that's
thing
how
with...
we that's how we get the Super Mario RPG 2. That's how we get it.
Oh shoot.
Nintendo! If you make Mushroom Warriors, just throw me something. All right.
Yeah, just but you have to have Mallow and that Star Dude as Gino.
Gino, mm-hmm. You can't. They're Square Enix.
I'm sure there's a way around it.
But yeah, those are the only two characters you need. Well, no. Because there was a lot of original characters. There was Croc, Booster, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, you could still get around that with like the sheer volume of Mario characters that are around now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just look at
and
like...
You could even...
Oh, go ahead.
You could even sell the major characters as DLC and people will eat that shit up.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, just look
at Waluigi DLC, done.
But, I mean, the thing is, you have the entire Smash Brothers roster at your disposal. Get all that in there and then DLC of playing as Ryu.
Super Smash Brothers Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. Ew. Let's do it. Ultra. but I'm going to give Fire Emblem Heroes a 3 out of 5 because the free-to-play model is still a little janky and the controls are not perfected yet. The touch controls are still a little weird. And also, for the love of God, turn off smart end of your turns. Because if you try and strategically place your character in a place and don't have them attack, your turn ends. And you can't go back to that person.
Oh.
Yeah. But there's an option that says smart end. Just turn that off and you're good.
Hmm. Noted.
Yeah. So, all right. Speaking of free-to-play games, Rollo and I are going to have a duel here, obviously.
Okay.
A Pokemon duel.
All right. Let me hear what you got. I'm only about an hour into the game. I'm still in the first hotel.
I am... a little bit further than that.
Okay.
I'm in the second play area.
All right.
So not super far. So, I mean, but then again, I've also played it long enough to be out of the honeymoon phase of it. Pokemon Duel, for those who are not familiar, is kind of like if you would take Pokemon and throw it into Mario Party Land. It's the best way that I could personally describe it.
I would call it like a simplified chess game.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, that's kind of what Mario Party was too. It's a board game. Whether or not you call it Monopoly, chess, whatever you want to call it, it's a Pokemon board game. And it is very obviously meant to tie into an item that is not in America yet.
Mm-hmm. Actually, they did have those Pokemon spinners when Pokemon first got big.
Yeah. But the Pokemon Duel board game actually exists in Japan. And it is a collectible figurine game where you are playing the Pokemon Duel that you are playing in this. But it's so like... All right. I can't think of many things I actually... like super like about this. There's no challenge unless you do a multiplayer. The storyline is way stupid. I just didn't like it at all. Like I would have liked it better if there was no storyline whatsoever in this and you were just going up against people and trying to Pokemon duel. But they try and shove a storyline into it and it just makes it miserable. Because the translation is super off too. Like a lot of these you can imagine just kind of flagging in your head. This would go better off in Japanese.
Wait, did I give that
this
a 4?
This would be a lot better.
How do I give that a 4?
I don't know. Why the hell did you give it a 4?
I don't know.
Like, you and I are going to have a duel, sir.
No, 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 no. It's not a 4. I say 4.
It's time.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And on the other side, I find it a little... I find it kind of relaxing. I mean...
Yeah, I get that with Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah.
That very quickly became my toilet game. Mm. Like, between that and you, Dual Generation... Both of those became my I just need a quick thing on my phone where I just want to play a game really quick, and that's what I get. Pokemon Duel irritated me with its easiness.
Mm.
Also, in the free thing that they give you, I unlocked Manaphy, which is insane, which gives all of your water Pokemon a huge buff.
Mm. Yeah, the one that I got was that what is it? It's that dragon that doesn't have an evolution or anything, that red and green dragon. Can't remember what its name is.
Not Salamence. I know what one you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you have to catch it, and it's like a full-blown dragon already. It doesn't have any pre-evolutions, or it doesn't evolve.
Yeah, which I always thought was weird, because it also didn't have the stat points of a pseudo-legendary like the other dragons did.
Yeah, and the thing is that... you can for have like us. Say like a Venusaur go down to a Pidgey.
Yeah, exactly. Except if you have Manaphy and an entire water Pokemon lineup, and then you just destroy everything.
Hmm.
Because it boosts up your hit points and your attack of all of your water Pokemon. But also, like, the spinners, the RNG of the spinners is ridiculous. It is absolutely stupid.
Yeah, it is kind of, but it's there's no skill. It's all like luck of the.
It's luck, which irritates me when I'm playing card games that are just entirely based on luck. It's the reason why I stopped playing Cardfight Vanguard, because it is entirely based on luck. There's no skill whatsoever in it. And like I said, the only time you have with a challenge is when you're playing in multiplayer and the other person places his people intelligently, at least, because if you have people surrounding you, you just die. Because, and if those two things happen to be a Rattata and a Pidgey, it doesn't matter what's in the middle there, it's dead.
Yeah.
Right. My Blastoise died by a Rattata and a Pidgey.
Yeah. And like I was going up against one that was using Fetchling and made a beeline straight for the goal.
Yeah, and that's how you beat the computer. That's always how you beat the computer, by the way. Just beeline straight to the goal. Doesn't matter. Just straight there. No, they're not intelligent enough to stop you.
Yeah, and
the AI needs badly.
Yeah, they need to learn how to protect the goal, and it's like, okay, so you're gonna move it to the left of the goal, not leave the guy on, not leave your Pokemon on the goal.
Yeah,
to at least or, like stop me a turn to give you a turn to put another Pokemon there.
Exactly. Try to set up the pincer attack.
Yeah.
Also, I've not actually had a pincer attack me yet.
Double pincer attack.
So I mean, I'm giving it a 2 out of 5. I didn't really like it. The one thing I like about it is the fact that I really like how Japan does their they have the laws on how much microtransactions you could do. You have a limit of how many microtransactions you can do, and that makes me happy as a person who has kids.
Mm. Yeah, and
God, EA would go out of business with that,
right?
Yeah, and I love at the beginning it says you can complete this game without.
Yep,
microtransactions.
I haven't spent a dime. I've spent more money on Pokemon Shuffle, which is the match 3 one.
Is that mobile or is that the?
That's mobile. I don't have it on 3DS. I only have it on the iPhone, and I freaking like. Pokemon Shuffle is still my go-to game, and I've had that game now for over a year. That's my go-to game, regardless.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's why I don't have Pokemon Shuffle, because I didn't have an iPhone back in the day.
Yeah, well, it's on Android now too.
Oh. Speaking of Android,
it's everywhere.
Mario what? Run is finally coming to the Android.
Yeah, and nobody's gonna buy it because they already realized, like, for the iOS. Speaking of shoving a game with no storyline into it, there you go.
Well, I mean...
I mean, it's a Mario game.
They did it.
Yeah, but... Princess Peach gets kidnapped and you have to save her.
Yeah, I mean...
You just don't... Like, she's going left to right anymore.
Like, yeah. I was actually hoping for a mobile Mario Maker.
Oh, that would be so
sick.
That
would have been amazing.
With that concept where you could, like, actually make a running stage that let you, like, okay, yeah, you go up here, and now you got to hit this block, which makes you go this way.
Even if it's just a Toad Run, like, you can do custom-created Toad Run maps, that would be sick. But that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You're just playing the same levels.
Yeah, give me Mario Maker with Super Mario Run.
Oh, yeah. Like, and include that in the $10 that we already, like, the stupid people like me already spent.
Yeah. I beat the game in, like, 2 days.
Yep. Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. This is awesome. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sad that I spent the $10 on it because I want Nintendo to continue putting out mobile games because, like, I got enjoyment out of Mario Maker for, like, a week. Or Mario Run, rather. Mm-hmm. For, like, a week. And $10 for a week's worth of entertainment?
It's
not
cheaper,
terrible.
Cheaper than going to the movies.
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up. Like, I spent more going to see Rogue One. So
it's cheaper than spending $60 on a 4-hour campaign.
That too. So, I mean, I don't regret the $10 that I spent on it. I just kind of wish that now that I've completed the game and I've completed like the coin collection in the first two worlds and I just kind of gave up. I'm like, I just kind of want more for my $10 now.
Yeah, so. like the custom maps would be great.
Yeah, or just something else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on to Pokemon Duel, I'm giving it a 2 out of 5.
Okay, and on my side, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. Probably because it's just a new mobile game I can mess around with. It's a huge time waster. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of, I see it as a puzzle game with an active, well, like CJ was saying, it's like the AI needs a lot of help.
Yeah. All right. So what's your other review?
My other game is Sword Art Online Memory Defragged. Is a character collecting game. Which is like you buy your boxes and you get like, oh, you get a chance to get one of the characters from the series.
Yeah.
From series 1 and series 2. And oh, it actually has real combat. It's not a match game. It's like you actually have to go in there and you swing your sword, you jump back, you dodge, you parry, and it also has the Switch system. Which you set up your party, and you do have a limited enough amount of. You have, I believe it's a 4-slot party, but you have your power limit on how many you can add on. Each hero has a set star level.
Oh, nice.
So it's like you do have, like, say you have four stars, but they all take 6 energy each, but you can only put in 18 energy.
Yeah.
Or 15 energy.
This is a 5-star review on iTunes with over 4,000 ratings.
Yeah, I mean, and it's there's dodging. I mean, I enjoy the game because there's actual gameplay to it. But
yeah, it's really like Fire Emblem, by the way.
Yeah. It's just not a complete random, but the story that you're going through is the Sword Online story.
Cool.
So right now I just defeated the Kobold Lord. So I'm like on episode 2 or 3 right now.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, and it's just okay. I'm guessing once you get up to the higher levels that you're going to either need to start spending the crystals that they're giving you right now. They're throwing crystals at you, which is what you use for your scouting to get more new characters, get more weapons, and then as you defeat enemies, you get crystal shards that you can use to upgrade your heroes that you're collecting.
Nice.
So yeah, it's similar.
I downloaded it, so I'm gonna put that in there.
Okay. Yeah, and
I'm going to something next week.
Yeah, I mean the combat's not that difficult. The timing on the parry does take some time getting used to.
Okay.
Usually does in most games, though.
So. Yeah. And what's great is that when you do use your parry, have both of you seen the actual anime?
Yeah.
Okay, know how they have that switch mechanic?
Yeah, we're both gamers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Del and I are both big time. Like, you should hear our Starbucks conversations.
So when you switch, the opponent, the character that comes in casts one attack.
Nice.
So you have your casters have their magic, and your swordsmen have their sword skills. I haven't unlocked anyone with a pistol yet, because you can also get the heroes from the second season. Which, in my opinion, they should have omitted the second part of the first season and the first part of the second season.
Oh, the Gun Game Online or whatever it is? That's the good one. It's the second
half. Yeah, Gun Game was fantastic.
Yeah, it's the second half when they go into that other SAO, because that's always a good idea considering what happened last time. That's when it gets weird.
Oh, when they go into the Elfheim?
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed that one. I don't enjoy the first part.
VGO one is good.
Okay. The first two episodes of that is kind of slow.
Yeah.
You got to admit, the first two episodes are really
slow.
I'll give you that. Because it's all just...
Don't tell me this is going to be another one of those stupid games that tricks you and tries to download 3 gigs worth of crap.
Yes.
God damn it. It is.
Sorry.
Couple episodes of...
Fire Emblem is one of those ones. Oh, this downloaded so quickly. Now I have to wait an hour for it to download 3 gigs worth of crap to my phone.
Yeah. And that's pretty much everything I've been playing this week. And I just finished my first year. I'm finishing up my first year in Stardew Valley.
Woo. Nice.
So, yeah, that game is a 5 out of 5 for me.
Downloading. Why didn't you warn me? All right, I'm gonna put that
spoiler alert.
And I'll look back at that when we're done recording.
Okay. All right. Right. That's it for me. How are you doing, Dilbert? What have you been playing?
Well, after I finished my Diablo 3 playthrough, I've been trying to find something to play while I wait for my taxes to show up, and I decided on Terraria, but not just regular Terraria. I've been playing Terraria for a while. I decided to just jump into the more modded scene, so I've been modding the living hell out of it.
Nice.
For those who don't know, Terraria is a 6-year-old game now. It came out in May of 2011, and over the course of time, it became a pretty large game, point where even after 7 years...
It has to be a Minecraft clone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, even after 7 years, it's still a 10 out of 10 on Steam, so it's got to say something.
Yeah.
So it's fleshed out a lot. I think 1.3.4 on main Terraria just came out, and they're working on 1.3.5, but the mods that I've been using are like, they add dozens of bosses each. So the base game itself has a lot of progression to it. I think there are 10 major bosses in the original game. Nice. That's without counting, so I'm probably wrong. Each individual mod that I've added adds another 12.
Wow, okay.
Each. I think I have 5 or 6 major mods added, and that means there's like 60 new bosses added to the game.
Nice.
Alongside like 7 or 8 new biomes, thousands of new weapons and items. So, Terraria is... I love Terraria. It's one of the only games on my Steam over 100 hours of gameplay so far. But, modded adds a lot of stuff to it.
Is that the game that has, like, permadeath, or is that a different game I'm thinking about?
It can. When you make your character, you choose softcore, normal or medium core, and hardcore. And hardcore is your death.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's...
So it's similar. Yeah, you can... Softcore, you just drop your money when you die. Medium core, you drop all of your items when you die.
That's when you have your boobs shown, but not anything else.
Yeah, which is painful when you're doing, you know, hardcore, because after a certain point you kill a certain boss and hardcore starts, and everything you thought you could do, you suddenly can't, because everything is new. So if you die on hardcore, on medium core, you're going to be in a death loop for a while you suffer going back to get your old stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's not very forgiving once you get to that point. But yeah, so the mods I currently have installed in my Terraria are the major ones. So there's a Calamity mod, there's Tremor mod, and then there's Thorium, which are all fully fleshed out 12 boss plus mods themselves. And then I just heard the other day that another mod called Spirit mod just launched. So I installed that one too, and I'm going to be playing through all four of those at once. And I hope to God I can figure out how to do that. So I think I'm going to be, that's going to be my next, next series to record. So we'll see where it goes.
Very, very cool.
And yeah, I would give regular Terraria 5 out of 5. Because it's already a very deep and immersive game. And modded Terraria, if I could, it'd be like 8 out of 5, because there's so much more stuff you can do. World of
Fantasy, so I'll allow it.
I mean, seriously, like the fact that it's like multiplying the amount of stuff you have by tenfold is incredible.
Now, is there any kind of mods that like do any kind of manipulation to the core gameplay? Like, if can you, like if there was a one where it turns you to a ninja or anything like that?
Well, in Terraria, there are different weapon progression paths, and that kind of can be modified. There's a mod that I had installed for a while called RPG Classes.
Okay.
And you, when you start your game, you get like a character sheet. In the character sheet, you like you use it and convert it into a like a class. So I think the one I started with was like Conjurer. And typically magic weapons starting in Terraria, it takes a long time to get to, because you have to get a bunch of gems and certain amount of materials in order to craft your first magical staff. This one's just like, poof, here's a staff, here's some more mana for you, you're a mage.
Sweet.
Go out and kill the world. So it's kind of cool. Unfortunately, like it doesn't really break it down very well, because there's, on the mod that I was using, there are 20 or 30 different classes, and they're all really kind of confusing to read the first time, so it almost requires looking at their forum page to try and figure out what each thing does.
All right.
So I kind of, yeah, I removed that one from my current playthrough, because it didn't really help much. It was cool when you had an idea what you wanted to start with, but you know, okay, once you didn't have that, it was no idea what you wanted to do, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a mage class, there's a summoner class, a melee, which is further broken down into like a sword or like yo-yo.
Okay.
There's actually a yo-yo playthrough, which is fantastic, by the way.
Cool.
And like a pseudo throwing class, like you get a bunch of throwing weapons early on, but in normal Terraria, the throwing weapons disappear late hard mode, because you simply, nothing seems to work for it. However, cool thing about the modded Terraria is it turns some of the late game melee weapons into throwing weapons, so you can actually progress all the way through to the end of the game as a ninja, which is kind of awesome. So, modded Terraria does a lot of new stuff for the game, which, frankly, Terraria should have been doing from the beginning.
Well, I mean, that's what modders do.
That's what mods are for,
so
exactly.
Is Terraria going to do the same thing that Blizzard does? And just incorporate the mod into the game?
I haven't seen them do that. No, most of these, I'm sure they've done that before. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't looked too far into the modding scene. I think they've like found things that the modders were doing right, and they decided to try and work their own form into it. But from what I've seen, most of the modding, the mods that I've seen, they keep things pretty separate. Like it's either full, what is it? Full conversions and adds a lot more things, or just tweaks of value here and there to make things work. Okay. Like another one is it makes every weapon in the game auto swing. So in base Terraria, some weapons are auto swing, so you just hold your left click and it just continues swinging, and others you have to continue clicking. There's a mod that just makes all of them auto swing.
Hmm.
Which is kind of like something that should have obviously been in from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because an upgrade shouldn't be harder to use on your body.
Yeah.
Do more damage, but you have to click 1,000 times to do that.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and then get rolling into the main meat of the show, because we actually have a big freaking deal going on right here. One of our members has had hands-on experience with the Nintendo Switch.
Woo! Yes.
So
show off.
Yeah, right. So go tell us, what's it like? What's it like?
Oh,
you got?
Man, it looks amazing. I mean, the fact that I was able to play, I believe it was 720. I mean, I believe it's 720 docked, if I remember correctly. And yeah. The only game I was able to play was Mario Kart. It looks amazing on it. I played it in the mobile mode where you have the two Joy-Cons connected to it. And, I mean, it's just... It's a little bit bigger than... I mean, I think it's like a 7-inch tablet, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not as wide as most tablets. It's a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
And it's just having a blast with it. I mean, it's... The controls do get a little bit gained used to, but that's with any new layout.
Oh yeah,
man, it's just a lot lighter than I thought.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things I was wondering about. Also, like those Joy-Cons looked real tiny.
Yeah, I wasn't able to play any games where it was just the Joy-Con by itself.
Okay, well, I mean. Does it fit well in your hands even when it's in mobile mode?
Like, yes, it did fit pretty well. The only thing is that I do have the problem with my thumb being in that position for too long.
Oh, where you're just like this for
yeah,
too long?
Yeah, and you're coming down. It's the same problem I have with my DS.
Okay.
Even though I have the DS XL.
It's the old Nintendo thumb.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. That then you got me there. I understand that one completely.
Yeah. I think I only had like maybe in total 20 minutes with it.
Okay. Well, still, that's more than what Dell and I have had.
Yeah. And I only had to. I did see they had an MC stage where they had people playing the. What was it? Super Bomberman?
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God. That's just...
That's a game I want to play. Like, I want to play Bomberman so bad.
Yeah, what I noticed on that game is that when you get out, you can actually throw bombs in, and if you take someone out, you can come back in.
Oh, that's sick!
I think if I remember correctly. They were also playing the shooting game, the High Noon, the Quick Draw.
1-2 switch mode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The quick draw one, Arms looks amazing.
Oh,
I was surprised, honestly. I'm not usually a big fan of fighting games, but that actually seemed to have a lot of skill mm-hmm. added to it. So,
and
I'm kind of excited for that one.
I also played it in dock mode.
Okay.
Which, it was one half of the Joy-Con, but it was in the plastic accessory for Mario Kart. With the wheel.
Oh, jeez.
But you don't have to use the wheel. You can actually just use the...
Thanks for keeping that going, Nintendo.
Oh. And that felt really well. I mean, even with the... except with the attachment on it,
mm-hmm.
I actually enjoyed it like that, too. I mean...
Awesome.
But yeah, I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted with it because there was about 20,000 other people that wanted to play it. And I did see a little bit of Breath of the Wild playing in docked mode just from outside of the line.
Yeah.
And it just looks amazing. It was a good 20-minute demo that they were letting people play. When I got there, Breath of the Wild line was closed, and they said they would reopen it in 20 minutes, and the wait was 3 hours.
Yeah, and commenting on that of the geek, pre-show of the Geek I.O. show, where like they did that kind of thing with one of the games at PAX East last year, where it's like, oh yeah, it was the VR lines. It's like, oh yeah, this is lines closed for right now because the line keeper is going to be taking lunch, be back in a half hour. However, nobody that's in line is already taken out, so the line's going to start at like 4 hours. I'm like, yeah, no.
Another no. game that was, well, no, this is me talking about PAX, but yeah, I pretty much they had already sold everyone that was like standing in line 2-3 hours to play Zelda. Everyone that played Zelda pretty much guaranteed is buying a Switch.
Yeah, that's not buying. That's not getting new customers. That is just continuing your current customer line.
Oh yeah, the great thing about what they had with the Mario Kart 8 Switch was mm-hmm. that I was playing it with three other people.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I believe it's got local co-op. Like all you need to.
Yeah, you can have two people on the one Switch with the dual Joy-Cons. They've already stated that.
Yeah. But the fact that we just sat down, they had kind of like a diner area because like all the different places you could play Switch, they had like a little diner area. They had a little train car. they had an airplane, like a airplane cutout. And people in the airplane cutout were playing the two-player puzzle game. I can't remember what it's called. But like where you have to like, there's one where you have to like cut the shapes up between two people to match the outline.
Oh my god! I just realized, don't stop talking and nobody or keep talking and nobody dies or whatever that game is called would be so great with a Switch.
Oh my god! Just thought of that. Oh right? Man, that would be amazing.
Oh shoot. Technically, as a mobile game, it would be amazing.
Yeah, right. I'm still trying to figure out why that's not on mobile yet.
Oh, I know, because if you hit disturbed, it has to be paused, doesn't it? If you get a phone call.
Yeah.
But the Switch would be perfect for it.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could also put it in, like iPad or something like that. There are games that disable phone calls. I learned that the hard way.
But all right, yeah. So I mean, it was, for it being what it is, pretty much a tablet gaming console, it looks amazing.
That's really cool. I was hoping that you'd be able to like yell it, just, you know, feel the Joy-Con itself. I am glad though that apparently the guy just being doing the modeling for it on the video apparently has normal size hands and not Japanese man size hands. Mm-hmm. So. That's good that it's a normal controller size and not, because I was really afraid that the average Japanese man who is 5'4", I think, is the average Japanese male height, and their hands are not large, statistically speaking. Like, oh man, that is going to be a real little controller and big old American hands. Much less in like Norway, where people have gigantic freaking meat fingers.
And considering a lot of their time and effort is going to be spent on us, I doubt they were ever going to make the controllers that small.
That makes me happy, though. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up because it's late. And yeah, we started late and we're ending late. But yeah. So you can reach us over at geekioshow@gmail.com. Go and put Gamer Geeks in the subject line. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch are all /geekioshow. You can catch us on that. I'm going to try and start doing some Facebook Live stuff. And we always have the Twitch going. I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 15 on there lately. Raul's been doing some cooking over at /TechieGamer.
Yes. Which it was amazing cooking with the sous vide.
I can't. It's not going to be on the Twitch stream yet, but I just did my first video of my 7-year-old learning to cook. So
nice.
I'm going to have that up on the Facebook channel. And when she feels confident enough, we're going to do live streams of it. You can support this show and the entire network over at patreon.com/geekio. Make sure you check out all of our channels for our most up-to-date information. Our website is geek-io.net. This show records normally Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, over at twitch.tv/geekioshow or geek-io.net/live. Anything else before we head out of here?
Nothing. Just follow me over at TechieGamer_ on Twitter and on Twitch at TechieGamer.
And you can find me at Veery Gaming on Twitter and Veery Gaming on Facebook. So be awesome. See you guys around.
There you go. All right, folks. We will see you right back here next week. Good game.
GG.
Hacks.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.
Okay.